Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a special episode of Up the Poshcast. It's our prediction special where we predict where Posh are going to finish this season. And there were some fairly bleak predictions on this episode. We also predicted who's going to get promoted from League One. And at the end, we do some crazy predictions. And there were some genuinely wild shouts in this. So it's really worth sticking around for. In this episode, I'm joined by Lods, Ash, Max, Harry and Dell, and I'm John. An important note as well is this episode is sponsored by Smith's Motor Group. They're an award-winning dealer of new and used Hyundai vehicles. They're family-owned and have been around for 85 years now, so they really know what they're talking about. Their state-of-the-art showroom is open 7 days a week, so get down to Breton Way, have a browse and a coffee, and choose your next vehicle from Smith's Motor Group. If you get down this week, you could even drive to Cardiff in real style. All that's left to say is sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. We are starting with a big one, and that is, where are Peterborough United going to finish this season in League One? Ashley, where are Posh ending up?
This is a difficult one, isn't it? A few weeks ago, we recorded with DMAP, and he said, look, as we go into every season, promotion is always the aim. I really do not see that happening this season. I don't think that I'm as negative as everybody else. I'm going to go with a conservative improvement on last season and finish us in 16th position, as I do believe that there are 8 teams at least worse than us that will finish below us and will end up with lower points ultimately. I don't think it's going to be a particularly strong start to the season. I think that we may be chasing our tails come November, December, but what does Fergie do every single year? February, March comes around and he pulls it out of the bag. And I think it's going to be another one of those where we just manage to pull ourselves away. We go in and then we have a comfortable 5 or 6 games this season rather than the 2 or 3 that we had last season ultimately. So, yeah, let's go with that 16th.
I really don't want to do it, lads. I don't want to answer this question the way I'm going to answer it. But I've been pretty consistent in saying I think we are in a terrible place. I think we're going to finish 24th. I can only really make an argument for 3 teams being worse than us, that being Exeter, Port Vale and AFC Wimbledon. We know what Fergie's like with a really good team. He makes them look unbelievable. When he doesn't have the tools at his disposal, he is not the best in a relegation dogfight. And I just don't... You talk about improvements on last season, Ash. I just don't know where they're coming from. I think, yes, maybe the goalkeeper's improved, but we might not see him till X amount of time now. The centre-backs are still a concern. The full-backs are still a concern. We're a midfielder short. We don't have any goals going forward. We've lost Poku. We've lost Kiprianu. We've lost Ricky Jade Jones. I just don't see where the improvement's coming from. And we have been in rotten form for, what, I don't know how long, really. Basically, since about October of last season. So, yeah, I really don't want to do it because I know people are just going to be like, oh, you're writing us off and all this and you're so negative. And I can already hear the dissenting voices in Twitter. But that is my honestly held opinion. I just don't really see any reason for optimism. So, yeah, 21st for Peterborough this season.
Wow. Well, I think we're going to be runners up. No, I don't really. Obviously, no, I don't. Not a cat and nails chance. Having said that, I don't think we'll get relegated either. I really don't know what to expect. I really don't know. If we was to go over pre-season and the games that we've seen, I think we're in a little bit of trouble, if we're honest. But I'm going to forget about pre-season and the performances. And obviously, that's had the results into it. And I don't know. It's going to be a mid-table for me. I can't see relegation. Can't see promotion. Can't see playoffs. I think it's just going to be another season of a little bit of misery, a little bit of excitement. So I'm going to go 14th. And I think I'm being a little bit optimistic with 14th, but you know, I'll take whatever. If we get promoted, excellent. If we get relegated, oh, well, it is what it is. But for the sake of doing a prediction, 14th.
14th is also what I've got. It is a bit of a finger in the air job. I'm going to continue the theme of pessimism. There are a lot of big players we've lost, and I agree, John, I don't think we've replaced them. If I was going to put a positive spin on it, which is why I've probably gone a little bit higher than what Ashley and John have, it's that our squad this time last season was probably worse than it is right now. Mills is an improvement on Sparks. I'd like to think that Sam Hughes is a big improvement on Manny Fernandez. The new defender, Dave, I think he's probably going to be an improvement on Oscar Wallen. And whichever right back we start against Cardiff, I think will be better than Sam Curtis. And then we've got the goalkeeper to come back from injury as well. So as much as we've probably lost a couple of really good attacking players, I think defensively we have definitely sharpened up compared to the first half of last season. But I do agree. I think we will probably struggle fighting anywhere near the playoff spaces.
I think there's a question over who still comes through the door. But if I'm going on today, and we're recording right now on the 27th of July, a week before the season starts, I'm going with us to be 22nd. So I'm actually even more pessimistic by one place than John is. On the positive side, you would think that when Hughes came into the side, we shored up the defence, performed a bit better, had our 9-match unbeaten run, and there was signs that even with younger players like Dornelli and Mills, that we were capable of getting results out of games. And that is still true. But when I look at the amount of options that we have lost in both midfield and in going forward, I really do think that we're one injury in any given position away from really, really struggling against literally any team. And I think this is no more obvious than the way in which we played and performed this preseason against three League Two sides in MK Dons, Colchester and Grimsby, where we scraped past MK Dons. We drew with League Two Colchester with what was more or less a first 11, and our second string side was capable of really being played out of the game a lot by Grimsby, who are probably a mid-table League Two side. So what is that going to translate to across a whole 46-game League One season? I think it's also so much pressure to put on players like Brandon Keller, who are coming in and essentially expected to lead the midfield, and that we may see that there was, you know, reasons why he was actually in and out of a Bradford side in League Two last year when you're compounding over 46 games. So unless we get in some serious talent, two or three more faces which are capable of adding to that depth, I'm going with 22nd today.
I think this is difficult for me because, as everybody knows, I'm a hopeless optimist. And predicting us to finish is quite a challenge. Now, if I had any bottle about me, I'd shove us in the playoffs. But the truth is, I don't. I don't think we're going to be anywhere near it. I've said that I think we are going to make an improvement on last season. And I think I'm going to go 13th. I think smack bam in the middle. I think we're going to make an improvement. I don't think we're going to be up there. I don't think we're going to be chasing. I also don't think we might be in and around the relegation zone at points, but I don't think that's where we're going to finish. I think it's going to be the closest battle at the bottom that we've seen probably in a while. I think there's going to be a lot of teams scrapping down there. And I think we'll get out of it and finish mid-table. But look, at the end of the day, I'm not overly excited for the season ahead. But I think pre-season as a whole is, I'm not using that as a benchmark. The reason being is because I don't see pre-season as results mean everything. I think bedding in new talent and things like that is far more important in pre-season, getting the fitness levels up. I think that's far more important benchmarks to base a pre-season off. And in terms of that, we've had a really rigorous sort of run in pre-season. So look, I'm happy with where we're at. I'm happy with the levels. Probably not happy with where we finish. Obviously, we want to be competing back at the top. I don't see us doing that this season. I think we're going to finish 13th, sort of that sort of area of the league. And that will be a stark improvement on last season.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because when we sat here this time last year, I predicted us to win the league. I'm pretty sure that Dell was probably the one that was closest to the prediction, and he predicted us mid-table, right? So it just shows, and we're all sat here, it just feels doom and gloom already before the season's even started, doesn't it? And I just hope that regardless of what happens against Cardiff, against Luton, against Bradford, Barnsley, I think they're the first four, that we somehow manage to find some positives, because we know, as the guys have discussed, we know that our pre-seasons aren't the best. They don't really help us. We have been to Ipswich and beaten them 1-0. I thought that we were decent in the first half against Leicester as well, and they're the two championship teams that we've played. I just struggle that we don't ever play anyone of any real quality and similar to what we're going to come up against. So it always makes it hard, doesn't it? We know that Posh as a whole, generally under Fergie, don't start particularly well. Last season was maybe an exception to that, in that we finished at August with like 9 points. Hopefully we can match that. I just hope that if the players are still learning and are still bedding themselves in, that I, for one, am going to try to remain not deluded, but try not to get on the players' backs from the get-go, because I think that actually this season, more than ever, that they're going to really need the Posh support. And that is the 400 people that go on a Tuesday night down to the places like Exeter or up to Wigan and things like that. So I just hope that the players show the fight, because we criticised players more than enough last season for not putting the effort in. I think as long as the effort is on show, then that gives us something to back and support. And that for me, this season is going to be what's important.
I think, Ash, with that last point on sticking with the team, that's always, it's always a line, right? And it is what fans should do. You should stick with the team. I don't think this team has any leeway or earn themselves any credit in the bank, really, after last season. I think things could get pretty toxic pretty quickly, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. This isn't me advocating that the fans jump on players' backs, but that's what I predict could well happen after the first two games of this season, because we're used to seeing a really quality League One side. We didn't see it last season. Like, at what point do the fans start getting on Chris Conclark's back if he's still not scoring? At what point do the fans start getting on Gustav Lindgren's back if he's still not scoring? And you can go right through the team and ask that about De Havilland, who's in his third season. It's great to preach patience, and I totally agree with you. We shouldn't be doing it. But I think the frustrations may become a little too much. And my other concern with that is Dara's frustrations. Like, the most optimistic one of us on here has us 13th, which is in the bottom half. When you suggested that 10th to 14th was probably a successful season, Ashley, when Dara was on our live, which you can go back and watch on our YouTube channel, Dara became quite defensive about that and sort of said, no, we're trying to win the league. We're trying to be a promotion contender. So if we're right, and we're struggling down the bottom of the table, what does that mean for Ferguson? And I think it would be a disaster if we sack Fergie, to be honest, with the level of quality that he's got. I can't see there being any blame at his disposal, really, even if we're right near the bottom, because I just don't think he's got the quality required to get us near the top. But if the chairman's goals are a promotion campaign and we're all saying we look like a bottom half team, which is the entire consensus of this podcast, at what point does Dara become too frustrated and start turning on the manager? Because he seems to believe something different to what we all do. And that's another concern I have about this season.
I think, you know, John, the difficult thing for me is that you're saying that the players haven't got the credit in the bank, but actually they haven't had the chance to earn it. I know that there are a few exceptions to that rule, but we've lost, five or six, seven maybe, of the players that were the ones that were in that team last season that was disappointing. If you think about Steer, Manny, Motherseal, Poku, Ricky, Hector, and then maybe one more that I'm forgetting, but that's six at least. The rest of them, like, I know that we're saying about Gustav and we're saying about people like Brad, but ultimately they haven't had the game time to truly show that they've been poor. Yes, Conclark is maybe an exception to that in that he had the chances. He maybe didn't utilise those chances towards the end of the season. And ultimately, those last three games, yes, they were what we were judging them on at the time, right? But a lot's changed since then. We've sort of changed the way that we're playing. We've brought in what I think are going to be exciting players, even if that's only in spells, the likes of Lisby for 15, 20 minutes at the end of games at tired legs. Frith, he looks like he's going to be a good player. He finished well on Friday night at Colchester. So I think that it's unfair to say that the players haven't earned the credit in the bank, because ultimately I don't feel that they've had the chance. We know that when Hughes came in, Wallin improved dramatically, and hopefully that's something that can continue this season. And then, yes, we look at the right-back position. That's my massive concern going into the season. I don't think that either of those two are good enough at the moment. And we say that Sam Curtis was where we were last season, at the start of the season, but I'm not sure that either of the two that we've got at the moment are any better. And then we talk about Harley Mills. He's only played like 8 games last season. So again, is he somebody that's had the chance to build up the credit? Yes, he has, because he scored at Wembley. So, and that's the difference, isn't it? Is that a lot of those players that played at Wembley are now not here, or have moved on to other clubs, or are not part of the plans. You think about Alex Bax, again, it's not fair to judge him. Yes, injured, potentially out for 4 months, right? So that's what I'm saying, is that I think it's very harsh to say the players haven't got the credit. Ultimately, they haven't had the chance to earn it. That's the way that I see it right now.
The way I see it is, last year is a void season, and this season is what should have happened last season. You know, we lost some proper key players, et cetera, and last season was the start of the rebuild, or whatever you want to call it, and it all went tits up. Let's face it, it didn't happen, it didn't work. It was, apart from winning a trophy, which is great, it wasn't a great season. I think this season is where we build for the success for next season. Is that making sense? So we're a year behind where I think we should have been. Last season will be this season. Finish mid-table to push on for next. So, yeah, we've got some players that need to up their game. And as you said, Ash, some of them don't have any credit because they've not been given the chance. We've got some players that, you know, let's look at Sam Hughes, for example. I have been very, very impressed with him during pre-season. I think that's my standout. So I'm excited to see what happens with him and a new boy, Dave, or Wallin. I think it will be Dave, as we said about Harley Mills. We can see they've all got a little bit that can bring to the table, and they need to have that consistency playing. And hopefully this is what's going to happen this season. Because also, when we take into consideration last season, the amount of injuries we had as well, you know, it's not been great. So I'm putting last season down as a void, and I'm having this season as the build up for a successful season next year, providing we, you know, the players come out and put the effort in, like we've always said, and, you know, chase everything and you look interested. That's a big thing for me. Look interested, because there's a couple of players that haven't looked interested, if I'm honest. We won't name names, but we'll just make sure that coming up, whatever the result is at Cardiff, I just want to see that they are going to be fighting for that badge, the new badge, the season later. They're fighting for the badge, and I'll be happy with that. And then sort of build throughout the season. I'd go 14th, and I think that would be a successful season, if I'm honest, with the squad that we're trying to put together. Next season is when we really should be judging. So I'm looking forward to it. I really can't wait. You know, everyone knows that I loves going on the old away days and whatnot. So can't wait till Saturday. Cardiff away. You know, it could even be 9 o'clock in the morning for all I care. I am so looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Well, yeah, I'm also excited for the start of the new season, but I'm treating it with trepidation as well, because I think we're about to talk about our top two, and it wouldn't surprise me if Cardiff City and Luton Town appear in somebody's predictions here. So we're going to go around the table and we're going to talk about who we think are going to finish as the top two in League One. So Ash, give us your champions and your runners-up.
I am going champions as Huddersfield this year. I think that bringing in Alfie May is a massive signing for them. And they had Joe Taylor as well last season, but he was injured for a fair bit of it. Obviously, there was a patch, wasn't there, where they basically didn't score in 2025. And I think that we were part of that. I don't think that goals are going to be a massive issue for Huddersfield this season. And I think that they will score their way to winning the league. They were a relatively solid outfit. They were never, when they were losing games, they weren't losing them by big margins. It was just purely the fact that they couldn't score the goals. So, yeah, Huddersfield to win the league. And then I'm going to go Cardiff second. I think that ultimately, when you come down with that strength from the Championship, that they'll be able to bounce back up, and they'll get the crowds going, and they'll start to fill their stadium towards the end of the season, and then their fans will be able to drag them over the line to finish off strong.
Do you know what? I can't disagree with Hudders failed. May actually Hudders succeed. I have no liking for Hudders failed at all. But looking at some of their signings, I think they're going to be up there. I generally think they're going to. I can see them getting promoted. I'm actually going to have them down as first. And like you, Ash, I'm actually going to have Cardiff down as second. Again, a big club shouldn't really be in the English Football League like any other of the Welsh teams. But they are a big club. So I could see them going straight back up. Just want a quick mention for the other team that come down. Was that Luton Town? I actually think Luton's going to get relegated. I know we ain't got a relegation zone, but I actually think they're going to go down, you know, up and down like a yo-yo. So, but yeah, let's stay on track. Yeah, Hudders failed and Cardiff first and second, in my opinion.
Well, that is crazy, Dale, because I've got Luton as league winners. I think when I look at their squad and what they've still got in their squad, they have got a lot of players who are way too good for League One. I get that their momentum probably isn't quite heading in the right way over the last two seasons, but when I look at them, what they've got on the pitch, they look bloody strong. And probably on paper, I think they've got the best starting 11 in the league. Second, and they're a very popular pick, is Huddersfield Town. We've seen what they've brought in up front in May, Joe Taylor. They do look like they've got goals throughout their squads. The only concern is their manager, in the sense that he's not managed before in Lee Grant. But I'm going to back him to actually, he's got good reputation in a coaching sense. So I'm going to back him to have a very successful first season in management, a bit like Chris Davis did with Birmingham last season. So yeah, that's my top two, Luton, Huddersfield.
I've got the same two as you, John, but the other way around. I've also predicted Huddersfield to win the league. I think they already had a strong squad last season and probably underperformed. I think they've only improved that, haven't they? And I think last season, where Birmingham were in the league, Huddersfield probably felt like winning the league was going to be a challenge for them. This season, I think that'll be their aim, to win the league. And then just echo what you said about Luton. They've managed to keep a lot of big names. And there's a reason why the bookies have got them favourites. So I imagine they'll be right up there from the beginning to the end of the season.
I'm going with number one as Cardiff, on the basis that they drew so many games in the Championship last year. So you've got a borderline Championship side there anyway. It wasn't like they were pumped in the second tier last year. And with a club of their size, stature, I think they will bounce back, and they'll bounce back relatively easily. 90 plus points for Cardiff. My team I'm going for as second is Wycombe Wanderers, who just missed out last year, finishing third, having been in the top two for a large amount of the year, have signed astutely. Like, we just got David Okagbwe. Well, they got Taylor Allen. You know, they are likely going to get Connor Taylor as well. The positions that they needed, like centre-back, and also just building out the midfield, they've done it already. They are way better on paper than they were than the team that finished third last year. So for me, it's going to be Wycombe Wanderers in there at second. I'm not really predicting any surprises. Teams like Plymouth, Huddersfield, Stockport, they're all going to be up there, rounding about the top six as well.
Yeah, it's Huddersfield are in first place for me. I just think their project looks fantastic. The players that they've got and the business they've done is awesome. And it's sort of the same reason everybody else has Huddersfield first on here, for those who have. All very, very, very similar reasons. Second place is a bit tricky for me. I think it's going to be Luton or Plymouth. I'm going to go with Luton, I think. I think I like their signings more. For the automatics, I think, but I do think Plymouth are with a shout. I cannot believe how much people think Cardiff are going to do really, really well this season. I think there's a lot more going on at Cardiff than what meets the eye, especially behind the scenes with their owner. There was a lot of protests last season, and I don't think they've made a lot of fantastic signings that give me any sort of hope that they're going to finish top two, or any sort of pretense that they're going to finish up there despite the squad. So I think they're going to struggle, maybe not for primarily on the pitch reasons, but off the pitch reasons more, a lot of background noise. I think that can be a bit disgruntling. I can see them doing something like how Blackpool did, or how Wigan did when they came down. They sort of just floated around playoff pushers to mid-table. That's nothing against the Cardiff squad, but I think there's a lot of background noise surrounding Cardiff at the moment, and sometimes that can be really noisy, especially when you're coming down to a league like this where top teams can get stuck for a very long time.
All right, then. What about our playoff winners? Ash, do you want to start again?
Of course. The playoffs, I think, this year are going to be slightly different to normal. I think that the final is going to be Bradford versus Bolton, and I think that Bolton are going to finally get themselves over the line. I think that Bradford will have a strong season. I think that they are riding a wave right now, and we've seen it last season in Stockport and both Wrexham getting promoted. I think that Bradford will be the League Two team that does that, and they will carry themselves up towards the top of the table into the playoffs, but they will fall just short, and Bolton will finally get themselves promoted out of this league via the playoffs. So I think that maybe the only thing that Bolton would probably do to improve is come and sign Archie Collins so that they get the best out of Joel Randall. But other than that, they're looking pretty strong again, aren't they?
You have exactly the same playoff winners as me, Ash. For one, I love Stephen Schumacher. I think he's a brilliant manager. I think they've recruited very well. Ethan Erhorn looks like a really good addition. Keziah Dubry looks like he could be a bit of a threat. And I think Xavier Simmons as well from Hull looks a very, very good addition to already pretty strong squad. And with that manager in charge, with a pre-season under his belt as well, I think they're going to be tough to stop. I think they will actually push the top two quite close, but I do think they'll go up this year.
Well, I think Bolton will be in the playoffs, but I think the final will be between Stockport County and Plymouth, and I'm going for a Plymouth win. I just think I know they was pretty much rock bottom, weren't they, last year? I just think, I don't know, there's something about them. You know, they've got a great following, and that normally helps them. I'm going to go Plymouth to win the playoffs.
I'm going to go for a surprise playoff winner in Stockport County. They had a very good season last season. I think they've recruited well this summer. There's something about both them and Wickham that I feel a little bit jealous about. I think both of them clubs are where we used to be, and we've fallen so far away now that we're sort of steps back and watching them being linked with all the players that we should be linked with and signing all the players that we should be signing. Their budget should be similar to ours because their club size is probably smaller, if anything. Their crowd sizes are smaller, but they seem to be a lot more ambitious than what we are this season, and I think they're going to surprise a few people.
I kind of gave away largely who I think is going to be in the playoffs in saying that I think that Plymouth, Stockport, and Huddersfield will be in there. But the last team that I have in there is Luton. And Luton, I think, will beat Stockport County in the final. Stockport getting one stage further, but still not quite making it for me. And Luton to go back up along with Cardiff and Wickham.
Yeah, I said that Plymouth would be up there and competing, but I don't think they're gonna win the playoffs. I actually think it's going to be Bolton. It's the same with John and Ashley for the exact same reasons as John and Ashley as well. So I won't ramble on about it. I think they've got a really good squad, really good manager, and yeah, I think Bolton are going to get over the line this year, and then yeah, make it through.
Well, I have a very exciting announcement to make because Up the Poshcast is running a prediction league this season. In conjunction with Next Level Barbell Club, our prediction league is already open. All you have to do is predict the score each week and the first posh goal scorer, and your score points, the overall winner at the end of the season, is going to take home £250. We're also running a prize every month where we're giving away some amazing prizes. The best predictor will win tickets in a box at Peterborough United right on the halfway line. All you need to do is head over to uptheposhcast.com, click on the Predictions League tab. All the rules are there. Have a read up, get entering, and you're in for a chance to win some big prizes and show you know more than all seven hosts on Up the Poshcast who will be in it. So thank you very much to Next Level Barbell Club for hosting the league. If you're looking for a new gym in Peterborough, it's the place to go. We can promise after two visits, you'll definitely have more muscle on you than Charlie. All right, then, back to Peterborough United matters. I wish we were saying who's going to win the playoffs was Peterborough United matters, but it doesn't sound like we are. So this one is going to be who is Posh player of the season.
Right. This is a man that is not going to play for the first 3 months. I think that once Alex Bass comes back into the team, he's going to show his strengths and his qualities and ultimately why he was probably the top two between, I think it was the Wimbledon goalkeeper and himself in League Two last season. He'll come back in, and maybe where we're a little bit ropey at the start of the season because we've got either Bilo, Blackmore or Bastian Smith in goal, or potentially even a lone goalkeeper. I think that Alex Bass will come back into the team. He will steady the ship, similar to what Hughes did last season. But I think that ultimately Alex Bass as a goalkeeper, he's looked fantastic in pre-season. Some of the saves that he's made, there was one at PSL that was just sublime. I don't think that even Bilo or definitely not Steer make those saves. So he's going to be my player of the season. I think that we'll really see his quality when he comes back in, and then we will go on a successful run and cement ourselves in 16th place.
Well, I have said we're in the trenches. All my predictions have suggested that we are in the trenches. And if there's one man that I would take with me to the trenches, it's Sam Hughes. Nearly won player of the season this season. And I think with a full 12 months at the club, let's say, I think he's going to be our man. I think the defence will be tested a lot. I think he's going to be shouting a lot. I think he's going to be very busy. Dale, you've already spoken about how impressive he's been in pre-season, and it is noticeable how much better he looks than every other centre-back that we had at the club last season. I'm discounting Okagbu in that because I just haven't seen enough of him. But certainly Hughes has been the standout in the centre of defence. So I'm going to go with him. I think he's, you know what you're going to get with Sam Hughes. I'm not shouting from the rooftops about that addition, but I think he's a very solid League One player. And yeah, that's more than you can say about a lot of this squad.
I got a couple of nominations, I think. I was thinking about Keller. You can see that there's something about him, and I can see that he'll like open up gaps and spaces. But I am going Sam Hughes as well. Because I think it's going to be a tough season. I think a lot of it is going to be in the defensive side of things. And I think Sam Hughes will shine. We've seen his progress since he first came to us on loan. Obviously, now we got him permanently. I generally think Sam Hughes will be that player of the season because he'll keep us out. He'll win us more points than he loses by his clearances. And, you know, I'm popping up with a few winning goals, I reckon. So, yeah, I'm with you, John, Sam Hughes.
Dale, you've mentioned the one I'm going for. I'm going for Brandon Keller. I think he will end up being the best midfielder we've had since Grant McCann. I know I said that on the group chat and got slaughtered for it, but I do stand by it. I think he's going to be very physical. I think he's going to get around the pitch. I think he's going to have a really good passing range. I think he's going to be a tough tackler. I think he's going to be everything that we want in the middle of that pitch. I think he's going to be an instant fan favourite. And I think the contract length combined with all of that is going to be something that Posh fans will consider just being levels above anything else that we've got in the squad.
Peterborough United had the number one and number two best dribblers in the whole league last year at the club. Number one was Kwame Poku and number two was Kean Hayes. And Kean Hayes will take that step up and be Peterborough United's player of the season next year. Once he can add end product to his unbelievable dribbling, he will be there. And we've already seen against some of the League Two teams like MK Dons and Grimsby that he's there. He's able to create chances and shoot against teams of that calibre. And I'm sure he can do it in League One as well. No problem for Kean Hayes getting our player of the year this season.
Harry, I think I might have a problem for Kean Hayes and getting our player of the season in the sense of, are you even confident that he starts? Are you certain that he starts ahead of Declan Frith? Because I'm seeing him being a bench warmer as it stands.
Look, maybe he doesn't start the first couple of games. He will be there. He will be there no matter what by the end of the year.
Well, my player of the season has already been mentioned, and it's Brandon Keller. I am really excited to see him play. Something that's really impressed me since him coming in has been, I think there was a lot of questions about whether Brandon Keller was going to perform to the highest level, only making, I think, 20 league starts for Bradford last season. Hadn't got a lot of experience under his belt, and he's come in, he's really impressed me. And I think the biggest thing that's impressed me is his ability to progress and his work rate as well. He clearly wants to play for the club. And that's something that I really want to see, especially in midfield. And I think Brandon Keller's going to do that. And I think he's going to have a standout season as soon as he walks through the door. I can see him being the next big thing for us. So yeah, Brandon Keller for me. There was no other choice really for me.
Yeah, do you know what? I think that we need to be a little bit careful with Brandon Keller in terms of putting too much pressure on his shoulders. Like, this is a lad that is 19, 20, I think, 21 maybe. He's played 20 league games. We know that he's very good. That, I'm not going to argue that at all, but I don't want the pressure to be that you are expecting him to be the man that makes the difference in every single game, because I want to use this reference sparingly, but we've seen it with Jude Bellingham for England, in that the pressure that was put on that man's shoulders to be the next big thing for England and carry England to a Euro trophy or a World Cup. And ultimately, I don't think that Jude Bellingham is quite ready for that. And he is one of the best midfielders that we've ever seen come through the English pool of midfielders, right? So Brandon Keller is not that. But I don't want posh fans, I don't want us to be thinking, right, well, he's putting another 6 out of 10, right? Because you can expect 6 out of 10s from somebody that's 20 years old. They may have 9 out of 10s. And equally, the next week, he may then drop a 3 out of 10 because he's not got that consistency. He's not got that in his legs and his physicality. We've seen it. That the assist for Gustav's goal at Boston was fantastic. And you've seen what he can do. I just don't want there to be the expectation he's going to do it every single game, which I do think that there is. If you're going to name somebody as your player of the season, you're expecting them to do it probably more than 50% of games. And I don't think that Keller is going to quite have that in him just yet. I think that will be something that we maybe see towards the back end of the season, where he becomes more consistent and he then carries that into season two at Posh. But I just want to sort of temper Posh fans' expectations and say, yes, he is a fantastic player. I think he will be great for us long term. But let's just not put too much pressure on a 20-year-old's shoulders, because that would be a monumental disaster, my view.
I don't think saying that Brandon Keller will be the player of the season is a mounting pressure on him. I think the player of the season is just being the best player in the squad. I'm not saying that he has to go and do that every week. You know, there's been conversations in here about this squad not really being up to scratch or overly competitive. So, like, to be a standout player in that squad will earn you a vote. That's not me saying, look, he's got to go and perform and give us 8 out of 10s every week. I don't think a lot of Posh fans are saying that that's what he's got to do, especially at that age. He's one for development. But for me, player of the season has always been who's going to impress me the most. And if I had to guess now over who's impressed me the most of a preseason, he'd be that player. And I don't think it's a pressure thing, although I do completely agree. But you look at the way that Darren McAntony's treated it, the way that Darren Ferguson's treating it from what we've heard from Dara, is that they don't want to really talk about Keller too much because they know how good he is, but they don't want to put that pressure on. I think that the way people are tempering that pressure and making sure that it's not overloaded on top of him is something that I think is perfectly fine for a player that's young. But look, I completely agree in terms of we don't want him to collapse under pressure, do we? And that's the big thing. And hopefully he can go and perform. But I'm not expecting 8 out of 10s. That's not why I put him as player of the season. What I'm expecting is to see a player slowly begin to evolve into the next best thing. And I think Keller can be the next big thing for us. And there's not pressure to do that this season. But I think he can be a standout regardless of his age.
Well, a lot of discussion about Keller already, and he is a man who will be in contention, I'm sure, to win our next sort of prediction, which is going to be Peterborough United signing of the season. Who do we think that's going to be?
Well, I am going to be a little bit edgy here, and the player that is our signing of the season for me is going to be somebody that we signed last summer, and I think that it's going to be Brad. I think that keeping Brad, after this being a man that was going to be out the door, transfer listed, and we wanted rid, Brad is going to be the man that is going to be the signing of the season. Keeping him at the football club is going to be what we need. He offers something different. He offers something different to what Ricky did. He offers something completely different to what Gustav does. And that is what we need going forwards. We need to be able to play football differently. So signing of the season, Brad for me.
Yeah, my signing of the season is going to be Britta Somba Longa because we're just picking players from any old era. Right, doesn't matter about the categories. Why don't we make the rules if you're going to do that? Come on, get off the fence. Who's our signing of the summer?
Alex Bass. Simple.
Thank you, Ashley. Mine is also Alex Bass. I actually agree with everything you said about Brandon Keller. I think a lot of people are putting a lot of pressure on him to be sort of player of the season already. And as much as I think he is going to be a good addition, I think it's hard push to say he's going to be better than Archie Collins if Collins sticks around over 46 games. I do think Bass is a clear improvement over what we've had before, though. And that's why I'm backing him, because I just think if you look on paper at what we had in Jed Steer and Bilakapic and you look at what Bass can offer, I think that's a major improvement. And I think he's going to be tested and I think he's going to be very much needed this season.
Well, I've got two, obviously, because I just can't stick to the rules either, but getting Rooster back on board, I think, is a big, big coup. I'm quite pleased with that. But the actual player of the season for me is going to be Sam Hughes. Sorry, the signing of the season is Sam Hughes, you know, because we signed him this season. So, yeah, got to go with that one.
Yeah, I'm torn. You'd think that the obvious option for me would be Brandon Keller, considering I've just said he's going to be player of the season. But I do think Alex Bass will end up being signing of the season. I'm a bit hesitant because we're still unsure about this injury. If he's out for 4 months, like what's been rumoured, and doesn't come back fully fit, we might not see him perform at his best for the first half of the season. So if he does come back sooner than sort of like November time, then I think it will be him. I'm a big fan of him. I don't think he has much weakness from the limited time we have seen him. If not, I'm with Dell. I think Sam Hughes, just watching him play with our other centre-backs at the moment, he's just so much better than them. He's also a much better leader than anything we've had in the last few seasons. So I think both on and off the pitch, for this season coming especially, I think it will be Sam Hughes.
In the context that I think we're getting relegated, I think it will be Alex Bass. We'll be facing many, many shots a game and he'll be saving a lot of them. Just not enough, sadly. Alex Bass for me.
I think I've sort of dug myself a hole here, because I think I have to say Brandon Keller pure on the fact that he's my player of the season. I think just off a cuff, player of the season for me, signing of the season for me, I think is going to be Brandon Keller. However, I really, really, and it's different to signing of the summer, but I think a Cogboy could be a surprise. I don't think he's been, look, we can say his previous history at Walsall probably wasn't the best, what we've heard. I think there's a surprise in there. I really think when he learns our style of play, his pace and his power is going to, and it's a position that we needed. Look, we didn't get Connor Taylor. A lot of people have written him off already. I just think he could be a surprise shout or an outside shout for signing of the summer this season, or signing of the season even. And I think that could be an outside shout.
All right. Next up is top goal scorer. Now, this is normally one that there's a lot of candidates for. And it's quite difficult to predict. I think it's difficult to predict this season, but I think it's difficult for a different reason, in the sense that there just isn't really any standout candidates at all. So I'm very interested to hear everyone's opinion on this, because I think we could get quite a diverse selection of picks. Ash, who are you going for?
I am going to go with Harley Mills, because I think he's going to be on penalties for us. And I think that there's a high chance that with what DMAT told us about Rooster and his corner set pieces that he's drilled in, I think there's going to be a lot of penalties awarded for us through players holding on to our players and struggling to defend our set pieces. And ultimately, I think that Harley Mills is probably the best man to take the penalties. We saw he absolutely binned one against Wrexham, didn't he, in that penalty shootout. And he just looks confident when he steps up to a dead ball. So I think that Harley Mills will have what will ultimately be a standout season from left back, similar to what Burrows did. And he will be our top goal scorer, because I think that actually what we're going to see this season, I know that, John, you're not so confident on there being lots of goals. I actually think that we're going to see more of a level playing field, and that we're going to have lots of players that score between 8 to 12 goals. And we're not going to have that player that gets the 15 to 20, unless, of course, we sign a new striker that then is a 20 to 25 goal striker. But yeah, Harley Mills for me as the top goal scorer this season.
So my prediction on this is a little bit of a grey area. I don't think they're at the club. I think what will happen is we will be really struggling in January. I think by January, we'll be really, really struggling. I don't think anyone will have over 5 goals by January. I think we will then sign a striker. I think that striker from January to May will outscore anyone else in this team. And that's my prediction. I don't know a name, but that's what I'm going to say is going to be our top goal scorer.
Right. As you've just fucking copped me out, excuse my bad language for that, you need to now predict the top goal scorer between August the 1st and December the 31st. Pick a player. And if it's not Abraham Odo, then you're going to be baiting the hell out again.
Top goal scorer between August and January is going to be Sam Hughes. 4 goals from set pieces.
Quality. Okay, so I'm going to predict, a bit difficult, because if he keeps his head together, or if he gets his head into the right place, I'm going Brad. Absolutely Brad to score all the goals. He will be the penalty taker, I believe, if he is playing. We've already seen he's had a couple of penalties himself, which I can see him being that. If he doesn't, our top scorer will be somebody that's not on the club, as John said. But I think it will be because, I think it will be because we will get another striker in. Because if Brad can't get his head in a gear and do it properly, I have no confidence in Gustav. We have to sign another striker, because we can't go to season with somebody that can't play and somebody that's always suspended. So I'll put me on the line now, but I will go Brad being top goal scorer.
Isn't this such a depressing time? Can you imagine us having this conversation when we had Ivan Toney or Johnson Clark-Harris in the squad? Like, to not actually be able to predict top goal scorer in this squad to the point where we're naming fucking centre-backs and left-backs. This is embarrassing, isn't it, really? Like, we're all so pessimistic. I will keep it simple. I am just going to go with Gustav. I think he'll play the most minutes up front. I think he'll get a lot of tap-ins. Tom Nichols was our top goal scorer one season with 10 goals. I think it will be a similar case for Gustav this season.
I've obviously backed Kieran Hayes as my player of the season, but I think he'll be doing more creating than scoring, and he will be setting up Brad more than anyone else. Although I agree with the sentiment that it's probably not going to be that high a tally. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going with Brad.
I have a really horrible itch to say Kyrell Lisby, and I really don't know why. I've just been listening, and I just think, our Malik Mothersill replacement could be our top goal scorer. Something just, it has a nice ring to it. Can I say that though? Based on what we've seen, I don't really know. I think a safer option. There could be so many options. I think Chris Conclark could have a good season. I think Brad, if he can get his head on a swivel, could have a good season. I think I will go with Brad as a top goal scorer. I really think there's a lot of goals in him, and that's something for me that I've seen over pre-season, that his movement and his ability to see a goal, and also his the audacity to take shots from anywhere, really knows how to pull the trigger. I really like the look of him. Just, he's got to sort his the maturity out, his level-headedness out, because if he doesn't, we are going to be in a serious problem. But yeah, I am going to say Brad. I'm going to bottle it again, but I am going to say Brad as our top goal scorer.
Yeah, Max, it probably is a good job that you decided not to pick Lisby, because if you did, I'd have probably suggested that somebody like, you know, Nicky Adjose might have been our top goal scorer this season. I think you've made a good point about Brad, though, and shooting from anywhere. I think that another man that probably needs to start doing that a little bit more is Conclark. He's not had the strongest of pre-seasons, has he? And I just hope that he finds it, and he finds that National League player of the season form again that he had in the National League, right? And we see it, because he's somebody that we've not quite seen yet. So fingers crossed that he's somebody that we haven't really spoken about so far, and we're, what, 45 minutes in-ish? And it would just be nice to see that connection that he's got and that flair that I think he's got in his pocket. It just needs to come out more.
You know what, question for you, Ash, on that. If Lindgren and Brad aren't scoring, could you see CCC going up top?
Yes, I actually think I have suggested this in the group chat, or at least if I haven't suggested it, somebody else did, right, in that he has that ability, and you've discussed, Harry, in that article that you did, that the runs that he makes and the pressing that he does is good when it's done correctly. He just needs to get that. And actually, if he's the focal man and he's the one that wants to take it on his shoulders, I think he has that about him. So I think that there is a chance, yes, that if those two don't fire the goals in Gustav and Brad, that we do start to see CCC heading up in the number nine position and scoring goals for Posh.
All right. Well, the last category that we like to do is something called a crazy prediction. Now, crazy prediction is something that you think there's a chance this could happen, but you don't really think it's definitely going to happen. We've all been quite assertive with our points over the last categories. This is more of a, you know, this might happen. And if you go back and listen to last year's prediction episode, there are some crazy predictions in there that didn't come true. But there are a couple that actually they weren't too far off the truth. So we're all going to offer out a selection here of something that it may be a long shot, but is not impossible.
I don't know really where to start with this, to be honest, because this time last year, we were all so naive, weren't we, and buoyant in our predictions, and it was fun and exciting. Like I just said, we're 45, 50 minutes into this recording now, and it is very depressing. But I liked what Del said earlier, and that whet my appetite for a Luton disaster. Now, I'm not going to suggest anything silly like them getting back-to-back-to-back relegations, but I think that there is a chance that they struggle. I think that Matt Bloomfield was very quick to jump ship at Wickham, and that ultimately was probably the reason why Wickham didn't finish second. And if somebody comes sniffing, and then, it doesn't even need to be up towards the top, does it, for Matt Bloomfield to jump ship, because he showed it with Wickham last season. He was happy to leave when they were second for a promotion. If one of those teams that comes in around the middle of the championship comes in for him, he will leave, and he will leave Luton high and dry, and they will drop off, and they will finish mid-table in a similar position to what Posh do this season. That is my crazy prediction so far.
Well, my crazy prediction is going to be on Posh, and I think it is that Darren Ferguson may not be our manager by the end of next month. I really worry about our start to the season. I've spoken about Darren McAntony's aims and him basically saying he wants promotion. Ferg not as confident on there. And if they are not aligned, and Fergie was asked in his interview with BBC Radio Cambridgeshire, do you know, your aim is always promotion? And he said, well, I don't really speak on these things. But that is categorically not true, because after Oxford playoff defeat, he said, I want to build a team to win the league. He's always spoken about trying to get promoted. It's categorically not true that he deflects that question, because we have never been afraid to say we're aiming for the top six. So that shows me where his confidence in this squad is. It shows me where Dara's confidence is, that he was saying basically that 10th to 14th isn't good enough. And if they don't align and don't see eye to eye, and I think we'd lose quite heavily in our first two games of the season, if I'm being honest, I can see a mutual termination of ways, and we have a new manager in charge.
Well, last season, I did actually predict, or my crazy prediction was, Fergie wouldn't see out the season. I was actually going to say that again, but you know what? I'm not going to do it, because John just took it and he's going to be gone by the end of next month. That's quite extreme. I'm trying to think of a couple of predictions, so I'm going to steer away from Peterborough. So I've got two. I've already alluded to, I think Luton will get relegated. I generally think that could be the case. But crazy prediction, all right? And it may not even be that crazy, but I believe that the Golden Boot winner for League One will be Malik Mothersill. So that's what I'm going. I'm having two. I don't care. I'm going Malik Mothersill will be the Golden Boot. Good luck to him if he does. And Luton Town to be relegated. Not good luck to you. There we go.
Well, this time last year, John made a prediction that Kwame Poku would get 10 goals and 10 assists. And at the time, I think it wasn't the most obvious shout. So fair play, John. I think had he been fit all season, he definitely would have hit that. I'm going to make a similar suggestion about one of our players. John, you might be a little bit angry with me. It is Abraham Odo. I think his output is going to be improved on last season. I think the second half of last season, we saw glimpses of his output in terms of both goals and assists. And I think we're going to struggle finding the players to be that focal point in attack. And I think Fergie likes Odo that much that he's going to end up playing 40 games for us in the league and pretty much all the cup competitions as well. And I think he'll just naturally score maybe not 10 of each. Maybe I'll lower it down to about eight of each. But I do think he'll get an incredible amount of output compared to last season.
I don't know how John has contained himself and not come in here, but I will go next. I'll have two. I will go with doubling down on my player of the season prediction that Kean Hayes is the next £5 million plus player to leave Peterborough United, whether that be in January or next summer or the summer after. He is the only one with that with that kind of potential to be a big, big sale out of anyone here. And I challenge any of you to name, except for maybe Keller, any other player who gets close to that category. And then my other prediction, Lincoln City, I will tell you, last season got 19 set-piece goals last year, leading League One. While Peterborough United are going to get 20 set-piece goals in the 25-26 season, led by Sam Hughes and David Okogwe, absolutely rifling them in from Harley Mills' beautiful deliveries all season long.
I think I'm going to be a bit boring because I think I said mine earlier on. And I think it's going to be I think Cardiff are going to really struggle this season. I think for me that's probably my crazy prediction considering how many people here have got them in and around the top end of the playoffs to automatic promotion. I don't see it for reasons I've already listed. I don't think it's anything to do with Cardiff's sort of squad. I think the squad is fine. I don't think it was very good for the Championship. That's why inevitably they came down, and I don't think they've improved enough of it to put them in the top end. But I think there's so much background noise concerning their owner around Cardiff that I really can't see them doing very well. I think they're going to finish in and around mid-table. I don't see them coming up towards the playoff places. I don't see them winning the league, but I also don't see them getting relegated. They're too good for that. I just think there could be a lot of noise that could be an unsettling factor around Cardiff. So that's my crazy prediction. I don't think it's impossible.
I just want to come back to Odo very, very quickly. I was scrolling through some social media the other day and I was predicting, and I was not predicting, I was saying who's the most expensive player at each club. So I scrolled through like, yeah, A, B, C, D, got a P. You'll never guess who the most expensive or the most valued player at Peterborough United was. Odo. Odo is the most valuable player at Peterborough United. So, John, unlucky, mate. You know, social media never lies.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because D-Max already said the transfer market had money valued at like 300k and he pretty much laughed at us, didn't he? So I think that Dell saying that Odo's the most valuable player in the Posh team because of what he saw on Twitter may not be quite true, but hopefully Lodz's prediction comes true and then Odo is the next big, big sale that we have. One man that I think is going to struggle this season is Kone over at Wickham. I think that whilst he tore us a new one on multiple occasions in both games, last season, I think it was an 8-minute hat-trick, was it, when we went to Wickham and Manny got himself sent off. I think that he's going to score under 10 goals this season. I think he's going to be a complete one-hit wonder and he will disappear back to the lower leagues and will become a nothing player. And Wickham should have cashed in on him when they had the chance and he will become ultimately what a nothing player. And then, you know, he'll go down to League Two, give it next summer, then maybe Posh will look to sign him. And then we will make him the striker that he is when we need a new striker up top.
Ashley, where you were talking about our next big sale, apart from Harley Mills, who, when Harry said, name a player that's going to be worth more money than Hayes, Harley Mills definitely. And I think he'll be going next summer. Another player I think we will end up selling is Declan Frith, and I don't think he's actually going to have that good of a season with us. I just think that some bizarre team will come in for him and offer us double what he's actually worth, and we'll just go, yeah, okay, have him. I don't think his output is going to be as good as Odo's or Gustav's, like I've already predicted. But I don't know. I think there's just something about him. And I don't know why Harry thinks that Hayes will be starting ahead of him, because Declan Frith hasn't been signed to sit on the bench. But I think there's something about him that some random club's just going to come in and offer us like 2 million for him next summer.
I think Frith's got the versatility to start on the left. I think he displaces Otto. Sorry, I'm with John to it. Not quite as violently as John is, but I don't think Otto is that good. I hope it proves me wrong, but in the after the first three or four games, I think it'll be Frith on the left and Hayes on the right, personally. That's how.
All right. Before anyone else makes some wild shout like Abraham Odo is going to get 10 goals and 10 assists, we're going to wrap this segment to the end. I know it was called Crazy Predictions, but come on, let's at least have them a little bit realistic, Lods, eh? We will be back Friday, where we will be previewing Cardiff City away and the new season starting. I think we've got an entire full house of Up the Poshcast hosts attending that game. So if you see us walking around, we will have our pin badges on. Now, if you want one yourself, go over to upthepodcast.com, order it now. We might even get them out to you before next week's game, and you can wear it to the Cardiff City Stadium with pride, and we will all give you a wave and say thanks for listening. If you don't want to order a pin badge, still head over to upthepodcast.com, where you'll read loads of different articles and things like that. In the comments, we've actually got a big announcement, haven't we? We've hit 1,000 YouTube subscribers this week, which is amazing. So thank you all for your support. I'm still going to ask, if you're listening and you've enjoyed this, please do subscribe. We're going to have so much content over the season. And although we're at 1,000, I've said it before, we want to get to 5, we want to get to 10, and we want to keep growing. So we really appreciate your support. That's all from us. The next one will be the preview, and then we are back for another season of League One football. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
The Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
I think I missed out the opportunity to have a crazy prediction and predict the Posh women to win the league.